Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit and earned degrees in criminal justice and counseling. He holds many bodybuilding titles, including Mr. Michigan and Mr. Ironman. He's the Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs and the Dean of Students at Oakland University. A human performance expert and a success coach, he's the author of It's Time to Bring Your A-Game. His name? Glenn McIntosh. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Glenn McIntosh, the Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs and Dean of Students at Oakland University. Glenn, welcome. A real honor to have you tonight.
Jack, the honor is all mine. I've listened to your show now for about 3 years, and I find myself on Sunday nights tuning in and being inspired by you and your prominent guest.
Thanks a million. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, Glenn?
My mom and dad had five children. We were raised on the west side of Detroit, blocks away from the old Tiger Stadium on Michigan and Trumbull. And we were in the neighborhood that was considered low income. My dad was not a conversationalist by any stretch of the imagination, but he had a strong work ethic. And he worked at Ford Motor Company 6 days a week. And he also had odd jobs on the side to provide for the family. My mother, very strong woman, probably the backbone of my life. I'm considered a mama's boy because if I wasn't playing sports, I was underneath my mother. And so as a result of that, I got a chance to learn a lot from her, how to cook and sew. But she also did one very special thing for me. She introduced me to God. And that became a person who played a prominent role in my life.
We'll talk about that in a bit. Where did you get your passion and your love for reading and education, Glenn McIntosh?
That goes back to my parents. They came from the South. They migrated north with the thought of finding a better life and opportunities. And so my mother, as a result of being in the South, the segregated South, she always impressed upon me the value of an education. And I just fell in love with reading and learning how to write. And to this day, I read quite often.
You've got a great love for your mom. Your book, It's Time to Bring Your A-Game, is dedicated, and I quote, to my late mother, Fanny McIntosh. I want to dedicate this book to her voice. It's been with me forever. With this book, I say thank you for inspiring me to pursue my A-game, your son, Glenn. Talk about the roles. You're with a lot of young people, 19,000 people right now at Oakland University as Dean of Students. Talk about the roles that moms play in their lives.
Moms play a critical role in the lives of their son and daughter, in that moms are usually the ones who teach you the things you need for life, you know, what's right, what's wrong, using your gut feeling to decide what's the right avenue to take in any situation. Mothers influence you. They're the voice of reason. And that's what I saw my mother do for me. And when I'm at the university, when I talk to mothers, they're always concerned about their son or daughter becoming the best in their field. And so they're constantly in their corner, advocating for them and pushing them to be successful.
You may be able to say you're a mama's boy, but with your physique and size, Glenn McIntosh, I'm not going to say that. How did you get into bodybuilding?
Well, that goes back to when I was young. I was a fat kid, and I was bullied and picked on quite a bit. But I was from Southern parents, and so we ate a lot of soul food. And as a result, my weight increased and increased. When I went off to college, I played sports, but I began to read more and more about nutrition, became certified in nutrition and in sports training. And so as a result, I got more and more into not only lifting weights, but also proper nutrition. And as a result of that, as I took off the fat, there was muscle underneath, a lot of muscle. And someone challenged me one day to get on stage in a competition, which I did. And I ended up coming in second place in that show. And after that, I vowed never to lose again, and I didn't.
And in 1995, you were Mr. Michigan. And in 1996, Mr. Ironman. Mm-hmm. Glenn, what does bodybuilding teach us about life?
Bodybuilding can be considered a metaphor for life in that you have to have discipline and structure to be successful. From the moment you get up in the morning, you're deciding, how will I train? What foods and beverages will I put in my body? How will I let others influence me? It's overcoming obstacles when you see your body has flaws. It's dedicating yourself to overcome those weaknesses by working out, which is taking action to address those shortcomings.
Oakland University since 1984 has been a huge part of your life. You've held many positions. Currently, you're Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs and Dean of Students. Tell us about Oakland University.
Wow. I've been at Oakland now for about 16 years, and when I arrived there, we were at about 11,500 students. We just, this fall, passed the 19,000 student mark. The university has grown significantly. It's become a major player in the region. We offer all types of majors and minors from the baccalaureate through doctoral level. We just added a medical school this fall, which was a partnership between Oakland University and William Beaumont Hospital. And so I've seen the university grow over my tenure, and I'm very proud to say that I'm a Golden Grizzly.
We're talking to Glenn McIntosh. When we come back, we'll ask him, what does a dean of students do? And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with the Dean of Students at Oakland University, Glenn McIntosh. Glenn, what does a dean of students do?
A dean of students is responsible for campus life, which involves the experience of students, social, educational, and safety while they're on campus. As a dean of students, you're involved with programs and services that support the learning process that occurs in the classroom. I have a number of departments that report to me, such as student activities, campus recreation, technology, multicultural affairs, gender and equity center. And so what we try to do, again, is create an environment where students can live and learn.
Recently, when we were together, somebody asked you if you have children. And your answer was yes, about 19,000.
Right.
What have the Oakland University students taught you, Glenn McIntosh?
I think the greatest lesson I get from students on a daily basis is to stay open-minded, listen, validate people, help people discover their passion, and help them develop an action plan to reach their life goals.
You can't talk about Oakland University without talking about the coach, Greg Campy, who's in his 28th season yep. as the men's basketball coach, a great American.
That's right.
What has Campy taught you?
I think Greg has taught me that it's important to change with the times. As I look at his program, he's moved the basketball program from Division II to Division I. And as a result, the type of student athlete that he recruits has changed. And with that comes some challenges and also some opportunities. And Greg has taught me, again, to be flexible.
If there's a dad listening tonight who says, Glenn, my 18-year-old son, 21-year-old son won't listen to me. For the first 14, 15 years of his life, I was a Superman. Now I'm a zero. What do you say to that dad?
I would tell that dad to realize that oftentimes that's not a bad sign when the son is not listening. It means that they're growing, they're learning, they're being exposed to different people, which bring about different thoughts. And so they get a chance to assess what they're hearing and filtering. But hopefully that dad has poured into that young man to the point where he knows what a good decision is versus a bad decision. But I also tell that father to step back and become a great listener, to find out which direction his son is going. And again, help them.
Speaking of which, Glenn McIntosh, can you share with us the story about the sophomore honors female student who got caught recently plagiarizing?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one because as a dean of students, I'm also the chief judicial affairs officer for the university. And so I sit in on about 125 academic misconduct hearings a year. And recently we had a student who plagiarized a paper. And in the hearing, I asked her, why did you plagiarize this paper? And she said, well, I really wasn't present at the time. And I said, what do you mean by that? She was coming to class, trying to do the work, but she wasn't present, meaning she had a different passion. At this time, she talked about something that she really wanted to do, and it was to work with animals. And what we discovered in the hearing is that she had a great, burning desire to pursue a different career at this time. And so with that in mind, she needed a way to explain to her father in particular that at the present time, she didn't want to be in college. And so I worked with her to craft the message for her father. And then it turned out that he ended up in my office and we talked for a while and just consoled him on the idea that, sometimes parents want to paint a picture of what their son or daughter should do. But ultimately, it's that kid's life. And so relax a little and watch them grow and enjoy the process.
A lot of parents today, Glenn, in the name of love, give their kids everything that they themselves never had. They want to protect them from all difficulties and challenges and bad stuff. What do you say to those parents?
What I usually tell parents is that oftentimes when we didn't have, we pour things into our kids. We give them the expensive gifts and toys because we didn't have them, as you mentioned. But ultimately, we have to position ourselves to be supporters. Supporting cast members is what I always tell parents during parent orientation. Be prepared to play your role very effectively. Otherwise, you may lose them, and you don't want that. And so my advice to them is always help your son or daughter come up with an action plan for life and help them work it. Be a part of their movie that they're creating.
Probably at least half of your students today are being raised by single moms. It's very tough for single moms to have tough love. Talk to the single moms tonight.
Mom, you're going to find that one of the greatest gifts you can give to your son or daughter is the knowledge that life is tough, but you can win. Validate whatever role or position you find your son or daughter in. Support them, listen to them, let them fall, and help them get back up.
Recently, in Grosse Pointe, there was a speaker came from out west, an expert in parenting. And he spoke for an hour, and at the end he said, in summary, I leave you with two words to all the parents tonight. No and time. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
No and time?
Yes.
I agree. That's tough. That's tough love when you have to say no. But I think the important thing is to say no with a reason.
Right at the start of this, the first session, you talked about that your mom gave you the gift of faith.
Right.
You get up at 4:30 every morning.
That's correct.
And you spend an hour and a half on your soul and an hour and a half on your body. Mm-hmm. You read the Bible for an hour and a half, and then you exercise for an hour and a half. What do you do? How do you spend an hour and a half reading the Bible every day?
Well, part of that time is reading the Bible, and the other part is meditating, processing not only what I've read, but also the things that I'm facing in life at that particular point in time. I think it's very important for me to have that break, that place every day where I go to in my house and have a private moment, a private session where I, you know, really look at the landscape of life and say, what's really important? You know, what am I put here for? What is my real mission? And what I want to do is serve. Every day, it always comes to that final point in my self-conversation where I say, I want to serve and be a good and faithful servant.
We had another guest recently, the supernatural Lem Barney, who also spends at least an hour a day in prayer and exercise. What happens, Glenn, when you wake up at 4:30 and some days you just don't have it? You don't want to exercise, or you find prayer tough?
Boy, you know, when you get to that point where you find prayer tough, something must really be going on. But that's when I really, you know, dig deep and get into the Word. Because I know if I just flip open the Bible and start reading, the answers to life appear. The Bible is one of the greatest books ever written.
We're talking to Glenn McIntosh, and I'm Jack Prasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Prasula, and this is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Glenn McIntosh. He's a human performance expert and a success coach. If you want to learn more about him, you can reach him at www.wewinwithglenn.com. Wewinwithglenn.com. Glenn, it seems that it's an oxymoron for you to have surrendered to Christ and also be a bodybuilder. They don't seem to go along together. How do you explain that? How did you learn to surrender?
I learned to surrender at a very early age. Again, my mother poured a lot into me, and wisdom was very key. I learned that God sacrificed for us. And as a result, there's a price that I have to pay every day, and that means to be committed to serving Him. When you talk about bodybuilding, I think it's part of what God was talking about, mind, body, and spirit. Oftentimes, I see people who take care of the mind or the spirit, but they forget the body. And so what I'm trying to be is a whole person and take care of all three elements.
We're beginning a new year tonight. Mm-hmm. What advice or suggestions do you have for a listener who wants to implement a daily prayer regimen into their life?
I would tell them two things. Number one would be pick a place in their house where they can go to and be uninterrupted for at least 20 minutes every day. And then let's pick one passage as a starting point to read once a day.
All right. What advice to somebody who also wants to start an exercise program?
I'd applaud them and tell them to start off very lightly with the goal of maybe walking 3 times a week for a half hour. Do that for 3 weeks and then start incorporating something more challenging, like maybe a jog for 2 weeks, 3 times a week. And then get into some of the calisthenics, like push-ups, sit-ups, the basics, before you move on to some type of weight training or even aerobic type of classes.
Talk to us about how we can start to eat healthier.
Okay. I would first say, look at your normal daily food intake. Assess what types of things are you putting in your body. Are there good choices, bad choices? And then I would say 2 things. Number one, start drinking more water. I'm a big proponent of drinking a 1/2 gallon to 1 gallon of water a day. Second thing I would tell them is try to eliminate bread products. Now that's tough because most restaurants give it to you, you know, abundantly.
Why minimize bread?
But bread has so many additives, including yeast, you know, butter, a lot of fat. And so if your goal is to lose weight, I would say that the body reacts like a drain. When you put dough in your system, it gets clogged up. And that's really a very, you know, layman's term, in that bread clogs up the body. And so your digestive system can't perform naturally.
We're talking to Glenn McIntosh. Glenn, it's one thing to start a prayer regimen or an exercise regimen or to eat healthier, but it's most important to stick to whatever you start to. What's the key to sticking to the program?
That's a good question. But I'm a firm believer, if you know the why, you can stick to it. You have to know the reason why you're doing it. And it has to be about you, not someone else or some fad that they're doing at work, the Biggest Loser contest. But why are you engaged in that process? If you can figure it out and it's a compelling reason, you can stick to the program.
You're the author of It's Time to Bring Your A Game.
Yes.
What's the basic message of that book?
The basic message of the book is, I believe, every day you wake up, you have to aggressively, intentionally pursue the life you want. And there should never be a time where you just engage in a settling process.
You've got a series of chapters: how to achieve a winning mindset, how to feel good about yourself, raising your relationship game, raising your fitness game, how to embrace the best body for you. And then at the end, it says your A game is just the beginning. My Cubs haven't brought the A game for 103 years. We're waiting for the beginning. What do you mean by your A game is just the beginning?
Jack, I think once you start pursuing your A game intentionally, what you find out that a whole new world just opens up to you, a whole new world of possibilities and things that you didn't have the confidence to go out and aggressively approach. All of a sudden, your confidence level starts to grow. And with that growth, you begin again to take bigger and bigger steps up the ladder.
A lot of people are afraid to succeed or afraid to lose. So the end result is they're punting on first down.
Right.
They get up to bat, they don't even swing, and they go back to the dugout.
Right.
Talk to those people.
One of the things I had to ask myself a long time ago, when I had some physical challenges. You know, I had a knee operation. I had to make the choice, you know, if I wanted to walk with a permanent limp or if I wanted to run again. And so I said to myself, there's two things you can respond with when people ask you a question. It's either an alibi or an action plan. You know, and so I always pursued life with an action plan. I didn't want to be a person who had an alibi for why, you know, you settled for a life that you really didn't want. And so I would ask a person, are you happy where you are? The hand you dealt with right now, are you going to just keep that hand or throw it in and try for a better hand?
How does a person find their passion in life?
You find your passion by what you really are stimulated to do. You know, what really motivates you to wake up in the middle of the night and do. I'm one of those people who you can wake me up in the middle of the night and I love lifting weights. I love reading. I love hearing great speakers. And so I knew I had to be in a helping profession in that I help people to move along their life's journey and develop spiritually, mentally, and physically. And so I think if you're looking for your passion, you know, it's pretty easy. It's just turning that into a career or a profit center.
Glenn McIntosh, how does a young person or any person get true self-confidence?
True self-confidence really comes when you go out and you start trying new things and you start winning. And winning can mean anything from getting a B on an exam to an A on an exam. It could be going out for a sport team, writing a paper that you doubted your writing ability. But with that comes different victories, small victories along the way. And with that, your confidence begins to grow and grow, and you're able to take more and more risk.
We're talking to Glenn McIntosh, who's Dean of Students at Oakland University, also Mr. Michigan in 1995, Mr. Iron Man in 1996, and a Christ-centered human being. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're with Glenn McIntosh, the author of It's Time to Bring Your A-Game. Glenn, a lot of people today don't have enthusiasm for life. How does a person get enthusiasm?
I think you get enthusiasm by really finding out, you know, what life is all about. That it's about challenges. And so as I open up with, life is tough. Some consider it hard. But with that as your foundational base, you realize that there are still some things that at the core you want to achieve. And because of that, every day is an opportunity for you to pursue those goals that you have. Now, I think you should write those goals down so you can be reminded of them every day that you wake up and you have some reservations about getting out of bed. But with those written goals, they stimulate you to wake up with a purpose.
As Dean of Students at Oakland University, Glenn, you're ministering to 19,000-plus young people each day. And today, the Facebook and the texting. I go to a restaurant, I see four young girls. They don't say one word to each other. All they're doing is texting for the whole hour as they're eating, and I think sometimes they're even texting to each other. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about Facebook and texting.
Well, Jack, that's one of the biggest challenges that we face as higher ed administrators. It's getting people to realize that Facebook and texting, while they're good tools, it's really not communicating effectively. In that, to be successful in life, you have to have those interpersonal skills, in that you have to be able to see a person face to face, or hear their voice and understand their emotions. And so when you're texting and Facebooking, you put yourself in a dangerous situation, and that you get a false sense of security about your communication skills. One of the other things I'm always concerned about Facebook is the representation of self, in that people forget that that's a social media, in that when you put an inappropriate comment or picture out there, it's there for the world to see. At this point in time, there's employers who go out and they search Facebook to see who you are at the core, what's your character. And so you're hiring and firing sometimes as a result of what you put on Facebook.
A lot of people realize, or they're constantly told, that today you have to be a world-class networker. How does one become good at networking, Glenn McIntosh?
Well, that's something that I have to do every day in and outside of Oakland University, and that at the university I'm constantly working with faculty, staff, students, parents, and the external community. And so with networking, one of the things that you have to be willing to do is, number one, be a good listener, in that you want to assess the person that you're communicating with as quickly as possible. And you want to try to set up a scenario where it's always a win-win situation for all persons involved. And so it's critical that you engage in a learning process.
Talk to us. One regular theme, as I've done this show for 6.5 years, is most every guest talks about taking risks in life. Not jumping off, you know, not being drunk and jumping off a six-story window, but talk to us about taking risks in life.
Yeah. Taking risk is so critical, in that, you know, if you're going to achieve anything, you have to step out on faith. In that you move from A to B based on, I think I can. Against all odds, I think I can. And again, if you understand, as Nietzsche said, the why, the how doesn't matter. You just step out and you take the risk.
One of the many things I admire about you, Glenn McIntosh, is even though you have achieved tremendous amount, author, dean of students at a major university, world-class bodybuilder, success coach, speaker, you're very humble. And recently I was talking to somebody and he said that the key to humility is gratefulness. Talk about gratefulness, being grateful.
Gratefulness and being humble go hand in hand. I came from humble beginnings. The odds were against me. I was overweight. I got ridiculed about it. We were a low-income family. But even with that backdrop, it was something where I had a compelling reason to fight, every day to fight, and to try to move along life's journey and pick up some successes. And so at this point in my life, when I look back, I say, I didn't get here on my own. There were a lot of people along the way who touched me, who steered me, who provided for me. And I'm just in awe when I think about the fact that every time I got off the right road, someone would come by and put me back on the right road, give me wisdom to live by, to grow by. And so I have to remain humble and grateful.
Another mutual friend that we have, Glenn, is Brad Griffin of
Great Man
Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You're very involved with that. Talk to us about that organization.
Well, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes believes that the vehicle to spread God's message is sports. And I got involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes probably about 7 years ago through a mutual friend, Brad and I. Becky Francis, who was the head women's basketball coach at Oakland University. One day she told me that Jason Hansen was speaking at Troy Marriott at a luncheon. And so I traveled down to Troy from campus with her. Lo and behold, they opened up the ministry that day in prayer. And I met some great people, including Brad, and I got hooked. When they talked about using sports as a vehicle to spread the gospel, they had me. And ever since then, I've been very active and a part of Brad's team in the region.
As our time winds down together, Glenn, tonight, what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
As I stated earlier, I would tell your young listeners, yes, life is hard, but don't be afraid to start your journey. And in the process of your journey, don't be afraid to get lost. And in that wandering process, I'm a firm believer that you'll be rescued. At every point you find yourself lost, someone will appear. And they will appear, and they will provide help and resources for you. And so as you travel your life journey, have faith. Have faith to know that there's always an answer and that you are worthy to find what your life passion is and pursue it and be very successful.
If you want to learn more about Glenn, www.wewinwithglenn.com. Glenn, what a fabulous role model, not just at Oakland University, but Southeast Michigan, throughout America. Thanks much for all you do.
Thank you.
And keep up the great, great work.
Thanks for having me, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great 2012, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.